The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Advice and expertise on the relief you need from hay fever at All Care Community Pharmacies across Ireland.
Now, I suppose we've ended up talking today about kind of how we live our lives and everything, and it does feel like there's a lot in flux around that, doesn't it? And I suppose we've all had to learn to adapt in lots of different ways in the last year or two. But I think for some people, they have realised too that they actually don't want to go back to the life they had. JP McMahon, chef and restaurateur, joins me now. JP, you're welcome.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
So, JP, I think, do I get the sense that you had work-life balance forced on you to an extent in the last year and a half, but that you found you actually liked it?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. I think from the point we opened Cava in 2008, to the pandemic of 2019, I think it was just like a 24/7 work, and not really. I mean, I had two kids in the process and opened three restaurants, and it was just work, go. And it was a dramatic kind of happening when COVID came, because all of a sudden I was just at home and there was nowhere to go.
Yeah. So you have decided now, am I right, that like Anir, which is one of your three places, but which would be your flagship, I suppose, and Michelin star and all that, you would have cooked there every night, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I would have done cooking classes on Sunday and Monday. So essentially some weeks was just seven days a week. And I think the pandemic made me realise, I suppose, as probably with many, many people, that spending more time at home and that is, I suppose, a good thing, not only for one's own mental health, but also for the health of one's family. So the plan now is to just try and work three nights a week and have the other four. Of course, I'll work during the day as I'm a bit of a workaholic, but to have the other four nights free for other stuff.
I can already feel the strain in you at loosening your tight grip on things. Are you finding it hard to think that they might actually manage without you some nights?
Oh, definitely, sure. I didn't work last night and they were really busy and I was like, I need to be there. And I was like, what? And then they got messages saying everything went well. And yeah, it's very hard to separate your own identity from the restaurant, particularly when it's something you've built over time. And there's also an expectation, I suppose, I feel to be there because if customers come in and I'm not there. And so, yeah, there's a lot of guilt. And but at the same time, there has to be balance. And I think that's what the last 18 months has showed me, that even in terms of mental health and physical health, because it does take its toll. As I know, I'm only 43, but I feel older, and my kids tell me I'm really old. So I feel that working like till 12 or 1 every single night takes its toll. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting you mentioned identity. It's funnily enough, it was Keith Barry, of all people, who was saying to me here, when he obviously couldn't work, and he said like that his identity was completely tied up in that he was, you know, Keith Barry, and this is what he did, and that's who he was as well. Are you finding that you're having to reinvent for yourself who you are? Was your identity completely tied up in that, and can you develop a new identity?
I know, definitely. And I suppose I've noticed in the past that, like, I studied English and art history in UCC, and I started a PhD in art history, and then I went into cooking like in a major way, and that became very much part of my identity. So I do understand that I can have other identities, okay, but it is hard when you get into that habit. And I think over the last 10 or 12 years, your identity gets so wrapped up in the restaurant that you feel if you're not there, if there's something wrong with the restaurant, then it's affecting you like physically and emotionally. So I do feel that there has been a bit of a break in terms of, okay, there's Anir and there's me, and there's parts where it crosses over, and with the other restaurants as well. But I feel now there is other space. I mean, I started painting in lockdown, and it's something I suppose I never believed I had time to do, and I couldn't do. And I can see elements of myself in that now. And so I think it is, the lesson is that it's important not to, I suppose, not to say put all your eggs in one basket, yeah, but not to
step back a bit sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah. Did you get to know the kids a bit better as well? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, definitely. And I know, like, I never would have won Father of the Year at any stage. But certainly even cooking at home, because I suppose there's a tendency when people imagine that I'm a chef and I cook that, oh God, you must be coming home making the most elaborate meals. But sometimes you're just so exhausted when you get home that the kids are like, well, can I have a bowl of cereal? And you're like, going, yeah, grand, have a bowl of cereal. It's and so cooking at home and even just like roasting a chicken and making some bread and baking with the kids, all these things that just take a few hours and I definitely
And make a home feel like a home, don't they? The smells and everything else. Yeah,
absolutely. Because I suppose when you're in the restaurant industry, particularly as an owner, sometimes you leave the house at 9 a.m. and you come back at 1 the following morning, and that just happens after day after day after day. And it was COVID, I suppose, showed me, or lockdown showed me that look, the things still, I suppose, continue and still happen. And yet you can I suppose. Get a better work-life balance.
And JP, I know you also, an additional complication is that you separated from your wife at the start of the pandemic, but I gather you're still good friends and you will continue as business partners and everything?
Yeah, absolutely. No, we get on very well and we bought another house, and so I live in one house and Trigan lives in the other, and we share the kids, and that's also another, I suppose, impetus to slow down. It's hard to say it's a positive because we're separated, but at the same time, I have mind the kids 3 or 4 days a week, so I can't work on those nights, and that's I think that's a good thing, because I suppose in the past maybe I suppose felt that I had to go to work and therefore I didn't have to mind that. But no, we're still get on well, and we're still in business, and we meet every day, and things are good.
Okay, good. You talked about cooking there with the kids, and I know, like, this is the other side of it. So you pivoted in your personal life, and obviously you guys in your industry, I mean, I do think I observed it a lot of times, you were faster and better at pivoting than, like, the country or the government at times. So you had to do lots of pivots there. One of them was teaching children to cook online, which... I'd imagine, does that open up a whole other part of your brain and your personality?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there's a kind of almost, you become like an entertainer, because, like, you've got 200 kids on or 100 in each slot on Zoom, and okay, they have their cameras off and they can just put in comments, but you're talking to all of them and you're doing 4 recipes on a Saturday and Sunday during lockdown. And it was great to kind of organise something, because it was literally just day after day going, what will we do? I mean, particularly last January when the numbers were so high, we said, like, it's not even safe to open the restaurants, even to open the cafe. So we said, what can we do? And it did. I'd always taught adults, but certainly teaching kids, you have to kind of you have to pivot in the pivot. And and some of them were amazing. Some, like, 9 to 16 year olds, and honestly, they keep you on your toes, and you're afraid to make mistakes because they're literally watching you, going, did you do that wrong? And you're going, I kind of did it differently. And like, no, that's wrong. And I was like, okay, I did it wrong. So sometimes they're not afraid to say what adults might just hold back on. But it did actually, we had one kid from Singapore, one kid from Boston, like predominantly Irish kids, but it did open up a whole side of the business going, God, maybe we could do this again. Maybe we could just teach kids all over the world. And we're going to do another course in November online, and hopefully it'll be hard to know if it works or not, because people are out now and they're back at sports and everything. So we'll see what happens.
Come here, any tips on teaching kids how to cook? What would be a good thing to teach them how to cook, for example?
I always think start the baking first, because, like, sugar is your bridge.
This is their currency, of course.
This is absolutely, as my daughter, 9-year-old, said, listen, Daddy, wine, sugar is your wine. And I was like, she goes, I'll stop eating sugar if you stop drinking wine. Yeah, I said, okay, that's fair enough. But
you on the spot, so would you have anything offhand simple that you could give us?
Really simple, like a focaccia, which is just flour, yeast, water and olive oil. And it's very tactile and you have to wait around. So you make the dough and then you go off and then you have to prove it and then you put it back together and then you bake it. And then you just have some nice, I think, like, bread, making bread is one of the, and even if it is just a brown bread, I think that that engages with them. And both my guys are dyslexic, and they're whatever it is when you can't work out maths. So like homeschooling was absolutely a nightmare for me. It was like I definitely did not win, would not have won any awards for homeschooling, but definitely for home baking. But also yeah. I think little biscuits, and I know like it's like, it's different, I suppose, when you bake at home, but and then you can transition to let's roast a chicken or something, and then they kind of get into that dynamic, or let's roast some potatoes or make some chips in the house, and just okay. to see.
But if you start with the baking, basically, it has that good reward kind of outcome, and I suppose quite tactile and all that kind of thing.
Listen,
as well.
I think yeah. if you want, like, I'm not saying if you want your child to love you, but if you a chocolate mousse, and it's super simple. There's plenty online there, okay. and I think just. But buying it and actually buy the ingredients together, come home, put it all together, and to see the whole process, and then waiting for it to set in the fridge, and then eating it, and it's so
and then
much
taking
different.
A picture of it, presumably.
Oh, at least as my daughter says, there's no point in doing anything unless you take a picture or you video it.
Didn't happen if you don't have the receipts. Listen, before you go, JP, how are restaurants going to change?
Oh, yeah. It's difficult to know. I do think we're going to see a lot more casual dining. I think the high end is going to struggle. I mean, we're still in this bubble of grants and social distancing, and we have our tourists going to come back, or they could come back tenfold. But I do think that we're going to see a lot more. I hope we're going to see a lot more casual eateries with great philosophy, and whether that's takeaway places or because I think so many places have pivoted and to do boxes and all that. But I hope that we've had a really good August, and I hope that there's a willingness there for Irish people to engage with and go out and eat, and they seem to love it. So I hope going forward that with the restaurant industry gets back on its feet.
Is it nice to have customers back in your life? Are people more grateful to be there and happier to be there and more grateful for everything you do?
Oh, definitely. Now, I think that's actually one of the things I missed, and I actually didn't even, I think I took it for granted, was actually the aspect, because you see yourself as a cook, but then the actual hospitality of going out, talking to people, going, oh, where are you from? Where you're from there? Oh, that's really nice there. That whole chat, which sometimes is inconsequential to the meal, is actually something I missed the most.
Okay, JP McMahon, great to talk to you again. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Brendan.
Let's take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.